Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and a really wonderful Wednesday for you. Second hour, we're going to be talking about what I think is one of the most pressing things that Christians need to be talking about today, and that is a movement called, generally speaking, by people who are not in it themselves, the prosperity gospel. We'll talk about what that has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if anything, and what we need to be attentive to about that with Lisa Cooper. Lisa was raised in a Word of Faith Church, which is a prosperity gospel movement, and she's just a wonderful resource on that. So if you've come up against this and you'd like some help in understanding what we're dealing with here and what is the appropriate Catholic Christian response, you're going to love that hour. This hour, we talk about why you should bother being Catholic at all. Why is it important to be Catholic? From different people's perspectives, there might be different questions. That question might be phrased differently from the non-Christian person who might say, why bother even with religion at all? And specifically, why would I bother attending to the Catholic Church? The non-Catholic Christian, of which there are many. Millions and millions of non-Catholic Christians who look at the Catholic Church and say, why? Why would that be something I would need to be connected to or involved in? And many Catholics who maybe are lukewarm or have not been properly catechized and educated about what it means to be Catholic and why stay. All those questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. If you'd like to discuss why in the world bother to be Catholic, give us a call. 888-318-7884. Our guest for that discussion is Carlo Broussard. And Carlo is here in studio with me. Carlo is apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of the wonderful book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, which I am holding up for our internet participants. We just had a really nice pre-show chat with the internet folks, and thanks for being here, Carlo.
Oh, you're welcome, Si. It's always great, man.
So you think that there's an answer for each of these different groups? Like, we can actually say to people, hey, here's why it's important that you be Catholic.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so you brought out the idea of a non-Christian saying, well, it doesn't really matter to be a Catholic because, you know, all religions are pretty much the same, right? So this idea of religious pluralism. Well, any just cursory examination of the various beliefs of the various religions will show that they're not all the same. I mean, Christianity teaches Jesus is God, the very reason why we exist, the one whom we must bow down and worship. Non-Christian religions say he's not God. So one of them's got to be right and the other one's got to be wrong, right? So they're essentially not the same, you know? So, and then you can go on down the list of beliefs about the afterlife and about the nature of the human being and about the nature of the transcendent, you know? And, you know, maybe there is something transcendent in these various religions, but the nature of that transcendent reality is going to vary according to the various beliefs of those religions. So all religions are not the same. And even just the statement that it doesn't matter, it assumes or it presupposes that truth doesn't really matter, or any sort of truth revealed by God doesn't really matter. If God did reveal himself through a particular religion, we as Christians would say through his son Jesus Christ, and the Christian religion is the fullness of that revelation, well, then it would matter, right? Because the infinite reality is communicating himself to humanity, so that particular religion would matter. So that's how I would begin to construct a response to a non-Christian who is saying, well, it doesn't really matter which religion you belong to. That tells me that individual has not really carefully looked in to the various claims of religion. Now, you can also encounter an individual who's a non-Catholic Christian, right? So like a Protestant. And those individuals would say, well, it doesn't really matter if you're Catholic or not, because as Christians, we're all the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all love Jesus. We all profess the Trinity. And that's really the only thing that really matters in this whole institutionalized, visible hierarchy of religion and stuff that the Catholic Church teaches is not really what Jesus intended. So we would have to respond to that particular claim and saying, yes, it is true that Catholics and non-Catholic Christians agree that Jesus is God and the Trinity, and those are, you know, the essential elements to be considered a Christian, validly baptized, incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. But Jesus taught us certain things about his Father and about the church that he established in this community of believers. And so Catholics and Protestants vary on those various teachings. And to say that doesn't matter is to say that truth doesn't matter, because these things that Jesus came to reveal to us from the Father are mysteries about reality itself.
Yeah.
You know, because the doctrines are not just some abstract ideas. The doctrines that Jesus taught, these teachings, express certain realities about himself and God and the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the relationship with humanity and the people of God and the relationship with the church. So we have to take these things serious. These things do matter because Jesus revealed them to us. If they didn't matter, he wouldn't have taught us about these things. So we do need to roll up our sleeves and dialogue and figure out, hey, what did Jesus teach? And not just sweep those differences underneath the rug, but that we have to talk about the differences, even though we do have common ground more so than we do with other folks, right? So we have to keep in mind that doctrine matters, right? Mm. And so to that individual, I would say it matters to be a Catholic precisely because as you love Jesus and I love Jesus, right? If Jesus started the Catholic Church, if Jesus willed for us to have a universal shepherd guiding and leading the flock of God on earth, namely the Pope, well, then it would matter to be Catholic because that's a gift Jesus wills for us to have. Along down the line with the sacraments and the Eucharist and confession and confirmation, if Jesus came to give us all of these great gifts, gifts that he intends for us to share in and experience the joy in embracing the truth of these gifts, right? Well, then it would matter, you see?
Yeah.
And then, of course, that would be sort of a similar response to even a Catholic who might say, well, it doesn't really matter if you're Catholic or not because, you know, Protestants who are living good Christian lives, they don't need to become Catholic because they're just fine where they're at, right? And that it's possible for them to be saved. The church teaches that if they're not culpably if they're not culpable for their ignorance of the truth of the Catholic faith, so why bother? But that gets back to the idea that the truth that fully subsists in the Catholic Church, as the Church teaches, and you know, its 2000 document Dominus Iesus, and has subsequently taught over and over again in the past, right? That the fullness of truth and life that Jesus came to reveal to us subsists in the Catholic Church. That truth is that which all people are made for. It is in that truth that human beings will find their happiness, find their joy, right?
Yes.
And so for us not to will that good for another, either we don't see the grandeur aspect or how good that truth is,
right,
or we're not loving the other person, right? One of the
right,
other.
Right, right.
So it's out of love that we would will for other people to become Catholic because we know that the truth that Christ has invested in the Catholic Church matters, and therefore being Catholic matters.
888-318-7884 is our number. Carlo Broussard is our guest, and we're discussing why does it matter to be Catholic this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Why does it matter to be Catholic? If you've got questions in that regard, if you have challenges you want to present in that regard, 888-318-7884 is our number. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more Carlo Broussard and your calls after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here. Did you know that you can arrange for me and a host of other on-fire Catholic Answers speakers to speak at your conference or parish event? Here's how you do it. Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com and you'll find all the information that you need to book me or our other great speakers. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Carlo Broussard is our guest this hour. And why does it matter to be a Catholic? I suppose we could give there might be personal reasons. My parents were, and I'm attached to my parish and all that. But there are broad reasons having to do with truth and human flourishing.
Sure.
Or why everyone should be Catholic.
Yeah, and it has to do with what Jesus revealed to us from the Father and what is Jesus' will. So, I mean, given the starting point of our love for Christ, our love for Jesus, that we want to submit to his will, well, then if he willed that the Catholic Church is indeed the church that he established, which he speaks of in Matthew 16, 18 through 19, which he promised to build on Peter, then it would matter to be Catholic precisely because we love Jesus. Now, that's not to say those who are not Catholic, visibly speaking, don't love Jesus. We're not saying that. For whatever reason why they're not Catholic, that's something we're going to have to talk about, right? I mean, they love Jesus. But the point being is that if we can affirm that antecedent, that if Jesus started the Catholic Church, well, then it would matter. And most people out there who love Christ, right, who try to follow Christ in their lives would acknowledge that. They just don't affirm the antecedent of that hypothetical condition, right?
Yes.
They'll say, no, Jesus didn't start the Catholic Church. Or, you know, maybe the Catholic Church was started by Christ, but then it became corrupt, and so you had this revamping of the purity of the gospel with Protestantism, etc. And then we'd have to call into question, well, what about Jesus' promises, right, about the Holy Spirit and about Satan not prevailing against his church, etc.?
And the fact that you can't find a single day since the resurrection of Jesus where there hasn't been a saint in the church somewhere. I mean, the witness of the saints throughout history is that the church has persevered, and those who wanted to found the true gospel there. Let's go to Robert in Topeka, Kansas.
Okay.
You are up first with Carlo Broussard. Robert, your question.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me on.
Okay.
I'm a revert Catholic, reconciled February 2002, from 26 years away from the church.
Welcome back, brother.
And I've been thank you. But the question is I'm doing a very small Catholic apologetics organization here.
Okay.
And the Northeast Kansas Catholic apologist, and we're right now it's like pretty much me and a mailbox, and I'm getting started on that. But one of my primary question is I've run into some people who are really big into the old 16th century Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Right.
And I know that it has a mixture of truth and a lot of falsity.
Right.
I'm just wondering, what is the best charitable approach to, you know, say, hey, this is not good material to use against the church?
Yeah, you know, Robert, that's a great question, brother, and you've just inspired me of something new I can listen to on my drive now. Cy and I were talking about this prior to the show on what to listen to as we're commuting, as commuters. But unfortunately, Robert, I have yet in my journey of knowledge and in my formation and study to read Fox's Book of Martyrs and to really look into this issue in depth. So I can't comment on the book itself and the claims that it makes. I am aware, and I have come across, as you mentioned, Robert, that there is a mixture of historical truth and manipulation of that historical truth and exaggeration, etc. So here's a couple of thoughts I do have to share, even though I haven't looked into the book itself. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that what the book portrays in the history of the Catholic Church is true, and that the Catholic Church did, you know, persecute all of these Protestants that it says the Catholic Church persecuted. And did the Catholic Church unjustly persecute individuals who were opposing the faith, the Catholic faith? Yes. Did it do it as much as Fox's Book of Martyrs portrays it? It has. That's something I'll have to look into. I know the conclusion is no, but in order to justify that claim, I'd have to do the research myself. But just for argument's sake, Robert, it matters in the sense that it causes scandal. And for the Church of Christ to unjustly relate to people who oppose what she teaches, right? That causes great scandal throughout the world. And that is something that our blessed Lord is not happy with, right? That goes contrary to his will to relate to people who oppose her in an unjust manner, all right? Let's just say, for argument's sake, it is unjust. That in no way takes away from the truth that the Catholic Church is indeed established by Christ, and all of those aspects of the Catholic Church that are of divine origin are promised to be protected by the Holy Spirit, and that the human dimension of the Church will not be able to corrupt. So, Robert, I would take this approach of trying to explain to these people that, listen, there are two dimensions of the Church that Christ established. There's a divine dimension and a human dimension, just like the hypostatic union in Christ, a divine nature and a human nature, right? And the divine dimension refers to that the Catholic Church was established by Christ, that Jesus Christ established the church with a hierarchical structure of ministers, right? Bishops and priests who govern and communicate to us truth and life through the sacraments. These are divine aspects of the church that Jesus promised nobody's going to be able to screw it up, right? We may cause scandal with our human failures and lead people away from these great gifts of truth and life, but the truth and the life itself, Robert, will not be corrupted by our faults, our human faults. So if we can establish that divine dimension, and then that sets a context for understanding the human dimension, where, guess what? Those bishops and priests, those leaders that Jesus invests authority with to guide and lead his people here on earth, in human matters, where it goes beyond the boundaries of divine revelation of faith and morals, they're subject to messing up. They can sin, and they can greatly sin. And the way the church relates to people in the world can be unjust and at fault. But that does not take away from the ministry itself that Jesus invested to the church to govern the people of God, to teach the people of God, and to sanctify the people of God. What do you think of that, Robert?
I think that is an excellent answer. It's like infallibility in definitively teaching faith and moral is unaffected by the personal sins of our members.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head, Robert. Now watch this. Here's another line of approach that you can take, another strategy, if you will. Think about the logic embedded in that argument. Well, look at what the church, all of these bad things the leaders of the church did. Therefore, we can't belong to the Catholic Church. Okay, let's take that logic, Robert. Now, let's apply that to the apostles in the first century. Look at what all those first century Christian leaders did. They sinned. They let Jesus be taken to the cross, and they killed Jesus. They were cowards. They left him. They hid in a room. That's some pretty bad sinning going on. Should we not be a Christian? Of course not. So just because those who possessed the leadership roles fell in their humanity, right? Fell in living up to the Christian standard. It doesn't follow from that they don't have the authority to teach the Christian standard.
Robert, thanks so much for that lively engagement and for your thoughtful questions. Appreciate
Amen.
It so much. We go now to Dan in Cincinnati listening on Ave Maria Radio. Dan, thanks for your call. You're on with Carlo. Your question, please.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I think, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, I think I heard you say a moment ago that salvation outside the church is possible for practicing Protestant Christians who are, I think you said, who are not culpably ignorant of the Catholic faith, of the Catholic option. And my concern and my question is that in the United States today, in the Catholic Church, obviously being so well known, and we enjoying in the United States as we do freedom of religious practice and,
sure.
and expression, can we expect that there are many, if any, practicing Protestant Christians who are innocently ignorant of the Catholic option in a way that we could. We can have much confidence is going to afford salvation to many people who are, as I said, practicing Protestant Christians.
Yeah, yeah. They should. No. Is it fair to say? Oh well, look, everybody in America knows what it is to be a Catholic. They can't really be ignorant of it,
right?
Therefore, they can't be saved.
Yeah, I would respond to that and say, no, it's not fair to say that.
Oh, yeah.
And now, Dan, I totally get where you're coming from, brother. It's a great question. But let me ask you this. I'm interested to know, have you ever encountered a Protestant who said to you that we worship Mary? Has that ever happened to you?
Sure.
Okay. Well, don't you think that given the access to the teachings of the Catholic Church that Protestant has in 21st century America, right? Don't you think that they should have known by now that we don't worship Mary? Does that make sense?
Certainly, and I know a great many Protestants
right.
who don't or are not mistaken about Catholic belief.
Got it.
Way.
But I totally get that. But that individual person, right, who was mistaken, well, that tells me that at least it's possible, right? Even given the accessibility to Catholic teaching for Protestants out there, that they could very well still be invincibly ignorant about what the church teaches. So let's just use that individual for example. That person who told you, yeah, why do y'all Catholics worship Mary, right? Well, that person is making a judgment in his or her mind that, you know, no, I'm not going to belong to the Catholic Church because they worship Mary. But notice that their judgment to reject the Catholic Church is not actually a positive act of the will in rejecting the truth of the Catholic Church. They're rejecting what they think the Catholic Church teaches, but that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. So in essence, that individual is not rejecting the church. And if, Dan, that individual is not responsible for his or her ignorance or that false conclusion and false judgment about what the church teaches, well, then it's possible that whatever grace that person is living by, it's possible for that person to be saved. So my point being that I don't think it's fair to say that, to make the blanket statement and say, given the great accessibility, you know, in our modern age to the Catholic Church's teaching that nobody can possibly be excused when it comes to knowledge of what the Church teaches. But I think that there are cases where individuals are invincibly ignorant, people who really love Jesus and who just have never maybe had the time to do a robust inquiry into what the Church teaches, and so they're simply relying on what they've been taught from their pastors, etc. So I think we have to keep that in mind and at least hold out the possibility.
Okay, Dan?
And if I may, just
go ahead.
And I think I see where you're going, and my concern is that now there are a great many people who have just been, they were just raised Protestant, they believe a certain thing, and they've always believed either in the beginning or sort of continuing on through adult life that the Catholics had something wrong or were adding too much. I think the thought is that we've overlaid a simple and beautiful simple Christian faith with more than is necessary, and I think a lot of Protestants shy away from that. But it isn't some kind of a deeply mistaken understanding of Catholic faith. It's sort of like
a predisposition kind of against it. Well, Dan, I'll let you finish that thought, and we'll come back to that right after this. We have to take a quick break. Why does it matter to be Catholic is our question of the hour this hour. Here to answer that question, Carla Bussard, apologist, author, and speaker extraordinaire. Right back after this.
This is Archbishop J. Michael Miller of Vancouver, Canada, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Well, I don't think we're like the typical college students because we really hang out at our campus ministry and everything. It's amazing about how much more connected you feel. We share really cool articles from actually you guys, EWTN, and like what you were saying about evangelization. So that's really nice.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription to the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a two-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20. That's a saving of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for a subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com today.
Why does it matter to be Catholic? That's the question of the hour. Why does it matter to be Catholic? I think that Carla Bussard is our guest. Carla is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And it's almost a root assumption of an apostolate like ours that it does matter, because that's what apologetics is, basically, right. Is convincing people that it matters.
Right, 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 right. Convincing people of the truth of the Catholic faith.
You right. Know? So we're talking with Dan in Cincinnati a bit. Dan, I had to interrupt you there just as we went to the break. Can you just real quick sum up that last question for Carlo? Dan?
Who are raised Protestant just have some idea that we Catholics have added unnecessary layers of complication to the simple core Christian faith, which is really all that is necessary, and they just sort of had this disposition again that you mentioned that they were raised with to believe that you know I'm an evangelical Protestant. This is what I believe, and that's enough. And I'm overcomplicating things or overlaying things with rules and as I said, complications by becoming Catholic. So I'm not going to do that because this is kind of how I was raised and this is where I am. And my concern for those people is that, well, it's certainly available to research and read and understand
sure.
the fuller truth. And believe me, I would love to say, well, look, that person's in a good place. I'm personally invested here in the answer being that, hey, that person is not in danger, and my fear
right.
is that they are. Just
right.
to let you know where I'm coming from here, I'm not wishing to say, hey, you know, too bad.
I got
for
it.
You.
Yeah, I got it, Dan. No, it's a legitimate question, brother. I totally get it. Yeah, so with regard to that individual now that you're bringing up, just sort of this predisposition of being raised Protestant, Catholics overcomplicate things. But think about this, Dan, that in that person's mind, they're saying, I'm not going to become Catholic. Why? Because they overcomplicate things. Well, why does that matter? Well, because they're working on the assumption that you need to have a pure gospel and not do all this stuff. So any sort of overcomplication of things about what Jesus taught and the Christian religion, well, that's bad. Therefore, I'm going to reject that which is bad. So in their intellectual inquiry, in their intellectual judgment, the premises on which they're basing their conclusion, I'm going to reject the church, objectively speaking, are good principles. I mean, you want to avoid some religion that's going to violate and overcomplicate things that Jesus came to give us if it is just simple stuff, right? So, but obviously I would challenge those premises and say, no, the Catholic Church is not overcomplicating things because what the Catholic Church teaches is what Jesus taught, right? And what Jesus handed over to us and willed for us to be engaged in and given the church certain authority for doctrine and discipline, et cetera, and the whole family idea, right? So we'd have to go through all of that. But the point being, Dan, is that in the intellectual reasoning that the person is going through, I can see how they would be following that which they would be avoiding that which they perceive to be bad, right? Following their conscience is what we'd call that. Now, here's the key, Dan. Why are they mistaken in their intellectual judgments? Why are they mistaken in the premises on which they're basing their conclusion? I'm going to avoid the Catholic Church. That's a question that only God can answer, right? And we have to keep that in mind, Dan, that although we can say, you know, it's possible to be invincibly ignorant. We don't know who is invincibly ignorant. It's true to say someone who is invincibly ignorant is going to lose God's grace in their soul, right? Mortal sin. But we don't know who is invincibly ignorant. So I think we have to keep these principles in mind and not let the possibility of somebody outside the visible boundaries of the church being saved stop us from evangelizing that person. You see, Dan, I think that's the key, right? I mean, that's where you and I can agree 100%, and I know you're with me on this, brother, that even though it is possible, we still want to share with them the truth of the faith because it is a great good that God has revealed to us, and God wills for that person to experience that good and experience the happiness that comes from experiencing that good. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you, and thank you for easing my fears, but I'll keep working on this person who's very dear to me.
Okay, so. Dan. God bless you,
Dan.
Amen.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yep, bye.
Oh, next call comes from Nigeria.
Wow.
Nono in Nigeria. Thank you so much for your call. You're on with Carlo. Your question, please, Nono.
Hi, Sai. Hey, Carlo.
Hi.
Before I ask my question, Sai, earlier today I was watching Patrick Coffin's last show, and a lot of people were saying he's left some really big shoes, and whoever the new host would be had a lot to fill in. And if I do say so myself, we enjoy having you here. You've way more than filled in those shoes.
You're very nice, Nono. As a matter of fact, Carlo, you can leave. Nono and I are just going to talk for the rest of the show. That's a very kind thing to say. Thank you very,
Amen.
Very much. Because Patrick is extraordinary.
I agree with you, Nono, 100%. Sai is doing a fantastic job.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Can we get any other callers on this topic? Sorry, Nono. Go ahead. Your question.
So, Carlo, I'm Catholic myself. I enjoy being Catholic. I have a lot of good reasons why it's important to
sure.
be Catholic. And what's happening is three of my closest friends are, one of them's Muslim, the other is Jewish, and the other is Hindu.
Mm.
So these guys have these, their religious identities,
sure.
Which are kind of like social identities. You know, it's not like the way we have personal relationships with God and stuff like that. It's kind of like
okay.
who they are, if you understand what I'm saying.
I got you, yep.
So I've been friends with these people, each at for varying amounts of time. And in a small way, the way I live out my faith and the way I'm joyful about it, I've been told by them, you know, is very inspiring. And,
beautiful.
I often get comments like, oh, if I wasn't any other religion or if I was thinking of converting, I'd definitely be Catholic. But, like, the thing is, it's not important enough for them to want to. Like, they don't see why they should become Catholic. It's because, you know, the way they've been living out their own religions aren't the same way. And, you know, I felt with all the work you do on explaining relativism and all of that, you'd be an amazing person to ask for how to best minister to these people without, you know, coming out and Bible bashing or missing their own cultures and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, no, I think, with these particular friends that you just mentioned, obviously starting with, you know, the Eucharist or confession or the Pope or something is not going to work, right? Because we got to get these individuals back to square two, I might say. Well, actually square three, because square one is truth, square two is God, square three is Jesus, right? So we got to get them to Jesus. And I would recommend to you to begin studying and equipping yourself to talk about Jesus with non-Christians, to talk about Jesus not only in the personal way, which you already know how, and I can hear that in your voice, No, but to talk about Jesus in a way that refers to him as a real historical person, and that we have access to what this real historical person said and what he did. And this dude rose from the dead, right? And all in that resurrection from the dead is within this context of this man, Jesus, making all of these claims about being equal to Almighty God, which means he's the very reason why we exist, about being the very source of our happiness, our complete and definitive human happiness, promising a relationship of perfect knowledge and love in the afterlife, right? With all of those who believe in him and on and on. And all of those claims being vindicated by his resurrection from the dead. Because no, if Jesus rose from the dead, then Christianity is true. And if Christianity is true, then any person of goodwill who has this impetus to inquire about truth is going to be moved to embrace that truth. So I would recommend my book, Prepare the Way. I have a section in there, no, called Prepare the Way for Jesus. And I give you strategies. I coach you in strategies on how to remove certain obstacles that people may have when it comes to the Jesus question. I would also recommend a nice book out there called The Jesus Shock. I think it's by Dr. Peter Kraft. And it's sort of a popular read, but it's a great read, which teaches you how to sort of let people encounter Jesus in a real way for the first time, like the Jesus Shock. He's not just some, you know, a lovey-dovey, fuzzy-wuzzy dude in the sky or something, but like the real Jesus of history who made certain claims on our lives and who rose from the dead, right? And I think, no, perhaps if you begin sharing your faith in that way with your friends, at least it's going to properly dispose them, get them thinking about, you know what, this is just not pie-in-the-sky stuff. This is a real deal, real history, a real guy who really rose from the dead and making claims on my life. And so I need to start asking certain questions. Am I going to accept these claims? Am I going to accept his invitation to follow him? No, has given me good reasons to do so. It makes sense. And so let me look into this a little bit more. And thus they're on the journey of the inquiry. And then that's where you come in to guide them on that journey. And once they come to accept Christ, then lead them into the fullness of Jesus' truth with the Catholic Church. So I think, you need to roll up your sleeves and start doing your homework and digging in, sister, so that you can start talking about Jesus to your friends, not only from the personal experience, but on the intellectual side and the historical experience of Christ.
Nono, how does that all sit with you?
That's awesome. Thank you. It's funny that your recommendation, because about a week ago, I was arguing with my my Muslim friend's younger brother that Jesus was a real person, and I could not understand how he couldn't see that.
That's right.
And I'm changing my major after a few years of studying engineering. I'm moving to religion and theology. So this is perfect timing. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, if you'll give your address to Thomas, our call screener, I'll send you a free copy of Carlo's book, Prepare the Way. That'll at least get you started. And would that be okay with you?
Yeah. Does it have to be an American address, or do you ship internationally?
Oh, no. This is fun for the shipping department. I want to give them a Nigeria address to have to send it to. So, if it doesn't get to you, if you call back, though, and let us know. And I like to give away Carlo's book because it's just a great book. And if I give it away, Carlo doesn't get paid. So that's two really good things. Thanks, Nono, for your call. You look so mad, Carlo. Oh, you look so mad when I said you don't get paid.
Hey, brother.
I got
five kids to feed, man, plus my wife, man. I also have my best friend and his six kids over at the house for a week.
Okay,
so
I'll pay you for
too.
The book. I'll pay you for the book.
No, we're very happy to do that. So glad no call.
I know.
You know, Si, this is fantastic, man, because notice her joy at least piqued their interest.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? Because that's how it's supposed to work.
Amen. So no, right. God bless you, sister. And that's the first step, right? They're attracted. Yeah. And so now, she has their respect. So if she starts sharing with them some of the historical evidence for Jesus, then at least they're in a good position to perhaps be open to that information. Yeah. And the fact that her friend was saying, well, I don't even believe Jesus exists. This is exactly what I point out in my book, right? How can you talk to somebody about what Jesus said and did and the fact that he rose from the dead if they don't first think he existed, right? So that's an obstacle to the truth of Jesus that no can help that remove in order for that person to embrace the truth of Jesus.
Somebody should write a whole book just on overcoming obstacles to God or to the gospel or to the church.
Hey, you know what? I think there's that Raging Cajun dude.
Oh, yeah. Carlo Bussard, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church at shop.catholic.com right now. But not for no. She's getting it free. We'll be right back after this with Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. I'm sure you have heard that it's still okay these days to hold to the quaint superstitions of Catholicism as long as you leave them in church, because when it comes to reality, religion is just foolishness that withers in the fierce light of science. Problem is, this narrative is false. It is in the Christian West that scientific discovery has most flourished. Still, too many of us find ourselves flat-footed when confronted with bugbears like Adam and Eve versus evolution, creation versus Big Bang, and Galileo versus the Inquisition. What can you do? Come to Catholic Answers' 5th National Conference, Faith and Science. Guest speakers Father Terry Ehrman and Dr. Stacy Trasankos will join the whole Catholic Answers team to explain how faith and science are actually in harmony. September 27 to 30, right here in San Diego. And we are thrilled to announce a special keynote address by Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke honoring the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carla Broussard right here in the studio with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we're talking about why does it matter to be Catholic? An important question to answer, whether you are not a religious person, maybe not a Catholic person, or if you are a Catholic person. Knowing the answer, why does it matter to be Catholic, is a really good thing. Next caller is Michael. I don't know where Michael is calling from, but Michael, you are on with Carla Broussard. Your question.
Yes, I'm calling from Albuquerque, and can you hear me?
Yep, Michael, we got you loud and clear.
Okay, all right. It's like, why should we be Catholic when half the Catholics aren't going to church?
Very good question, Michael, and the answer is because for the sake of the truth. Just because some people choose not to follow the truth and to embrace the truth, it doesn't follow from that that I shouldn't embrace the truth. I don't care, Michael, if every single person in the entire world chooses to walk away from the truth. You, Michael, me, Michael, I, Michael, am called to embrace that truth. So the operating principle in all of this stuff, Michael, is, does the Catholic Church have the fullness of the truth that Christ willed to give God's people on earth? If the answer to that question is yes, well then I don't care how many people don't think it's important. I don't care how many people walk away from it. I am called by God to embrace that truth and to be a member of that church that Christ established, because I am made for the truth, Michael, and I can only find my true, authentic human happiness in that truth. And so that is why I would say we should be Catholic. That's why it matters to be Catholic, even though, as you mentioned, Michael, half of Catholics aren't going to Mass anymore. In fact, there was a study done that fewer than 4 in 10 Catholics attend church in any given week in the U.S. So it is true to say that there is a decline, at least in the U.S.
Yeah.
Other places in the world, man, they're busting out at the seams, right? But at least in the U.S. There is a decline in church attendance.
Can I tell you something, too? Out of that 4 out of 10, not many are singing either. I mean, come on, people. We need to bring it. There's only 4 out of 10
right.
of us here.
Yeah.
Let's get singing.
So, Michael, I will agree with you that there is a crisis and a problem of Catholic church attendance in the U.S. But, my friend, just as the apostles leaving Christ at the foot of the cross was not a good reason for John to leave Christ at the foot of the cross, so too, just because some Catholics are leaving or not going to the foot of the cross at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is not a good reason for us not to be there.
Well, I'm here in Rio Rancho, and we have a really hot church. So
beautiful.
St. Thomas Aquinas. So
St. Thomas Aquinas, anyway, the patron of apologists.
That's right. Well, Michael, blessed be God for that, brother, and continue to bring that joy and to bring that vibrancy in your parish, man. And hopefully that joy and vibrancy can overflow into other parishes and increase church attendance elsewhere.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks very much for that call. John now in Monterey, California, who's listening on the Catholic Answers app. Hey, John, thanks for putting the app on your phone. Anybody can do it for free. We appreciate that you did. And your question for Carlo.
Hey, guys. Carlo, I'm a big fan, man. Just want to put that out there, big fan.
Thanks, brother. You're too kind.
My question is, so I have a little brother who was Catholic, was baptized and everything, and now he's looking for God, which is great for us and our family. But he's really into this video called Why I Love Jesus But I Hate Religion. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really, So he's really, and I got hooked on it, too, years ago. I got hooked
sure.
on it. I thought it was the most truthful thing I saw until I started listening to you guys, until
Beautiful.
I started going to Catholic Church, and it kind of opened my eyes about this video.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
now he bought the book, and then I kind of confronted him about it, like why are you even reading this? So why don't you just go to Mass? And then he's like, well, to be honest with you, I'm trying to better my relationship with God. I was like, well, and this is the answer. And he's like, well, I think so.
Right.
So how do I defend that? I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do I pull him back?
Right. Well, John, I wish I could remember. There is a priest out there, and I'm sure somebody online knows the priest's name.
Was it Mike Schmitz?
No, it wasn't Mike Schmitz. It may have been, but it's not him, the one I'm thinking of, but there was a priest out there who did a video, a fantastic video. Is it Father Pontifex?
I'll look it up if you want. Okay.
And he actually did a video to respond to that video, John, and this priest did a fabulous job on it. So if you can somehow find that video, unfortunately, I can't think of it.
Father Pontifex. Yeah.
Yeah, Father Pontifex.
I love religion and love Jesus.
There you go. Father Pontifex, John. So look that up. That's at least a starting point. But I think more fundamentally, John, what has to happen is I think you said it was your brother. Notice what he said is that, well, I'm not going to go to Mass because I'm trying to increase my relationship with Jesus. As if the Mass is not a way by which you can increase your relationship with Jesus, right? So we're going to have to address that premise, that assumption, John. And the way that you do that, brother, is you start reading about the Mass. I have a audio CD set, the Bible Blueprint for the Mass. You can check out Edward Sree from Ascension Press, a biblical walk through the Mass, I think is what it's called. We have several articles online at Catholic.com, John, that you can read about the Mass. I have some as well from Catholic Answers Magazine online, going through the Mass as the heavenly liturgy. Check out the Lamb's Supper, Dr. Scott Hahn. So what has to happen, John, is you got to get some resources, brother, from Catholic sources that talk about the Mass, the biblical roots of the Mass, the theology of the Mass, and that Jesus Christ is literally present in the Holy Eucharist, man. And whenever you get that stuff, you learn it and you can explain it to your brother along with sharing the materials and say, hey, look, bro, if you want to increase your relationship with Jesus, well, then once you understand what the Mass is, well, then this is the way to go. Yeah, sure, you can pray to Jesus in the privacy of your own home, private scripture reading. Those are all good. Those are all great. But guess what? There's something better. It's Jesus Christ himself present in the Holy Eucharist, right? And all the graces that flow from the font of the Mass. That is the highest way, the best way, by which we can become closer and united to Jesus Christ. So once you get all that stuff, John, you can share that with your brother. Walk with him. Journey with him in that study and in that inquiry. And then hopefully you'll be in a better position to say, yeah, I want to be closer to Jesus. The Mass gets me closer to Jesus, so I'm going to go to Mass. Does that make sense?
That makes great sense. Thank you so much, Carlo. I really appreciate it. I just want to tell you guys, so my name's John Isidro. Could you guys just please pray for me, please?
Indeed, we will, brother.
Okay, we will, John. Thank you. Thanks so much for the call, John. Also, Nancy Joe on Facebook says Bishop Barron also did a response to the Why I Hate Religion thing. So you can find them both on there. And thanks, Nancy Joe, for letting us know that. Let's see if we can real quick get one or two more questions in here before we have to go. Carlos in El Paso watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, Carlos. Your question for Carlo.
Hi, hello, you guys. You guys, I think, are doing a great job there with your whole ministry there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos.
So I have a boss, and he's Christian Science.
Okay.
And, he's been my boss for several years, and it's at the point where there's almost nothing we can say to each other that can offend us. However, he makes fun of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
He says that the Catholic Church was founded by Constantine, Emperor Constantine.
Okay.
And he has a handful of statements, and he sounds very confident.
Sure.
As if that supposedly this Emperor Constantine did start the church with.
Okay.
Well, let's it's okay. The time is ticking away here, so I want Carlo to give an answer to that, because that's not an uncommon thing.
Correct. Okay, Carlos, here we go. An answer from Carlo, man. All right. I would simply respond to that, Carlos, and say, okay, boss, have you ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Ignatius of Antioch? And he'll probably say, no. And then you can say, well, it's interesting you say that the Catholic Church was started by Constantine in the 4th century, because this dude, Ignatius of Antioch, he wrote a letter to these Christians in Smyrna in AD 107, maybe 110 at latest. And he talks about wherever Jesus, wherever the Catholic Church is, there is Jesus Christ. He actually uses the Greek term Catholicos in reference to the Christian community as the Catholic Church, and in passing, and gives no explanation as if it's always been used. Then I would ask him, have you ever heard of Irenaeus of Lyons? In AD 150, in his work Against Heresies, he gives a list of successors to St. Peter in the bishopric of Rome, from Peter to the present-day bishop of Rome, Eleutherus, which is historical evidence that the Catholic Church was alive and well way before Constantine.
Carlos, I'll just let you know, if you want more on that, go to Catholic.com and just type in Constantine founded the church. You'll find all kinds of materials there to help you work through that. So, Carlo Broussard, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Si. It was a joy, my friend.
If you want Carlo to come speak to your group, go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. If you want his book, go to shop.catholic.com. The book is Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Next hour, Lisa Cooper's coming in. Well, she's going to be on the line with us. And Lisa was raised in Prosperity Gospel, Catholic now. You're going to love this.